Okay, if everybody could take your seats and we'll get on with this afternoon's program. Just want to give a shout out to Oracle for sponsoring the lunch this afternoon. Thank you very much. I'm joined this afternoon by Lori Mack from SafeNet and now Jim Alto, who is going to help with moderating, introducing people, and so I don't have to do so much work. And she looks better than I do.
Well, thank you. So it is my pleasure this afternoon to introduce our first speakers. Richard Wang is the technical director of the CTSL lab in Lados. He's been performing FIPS 140-2 and FIPS 201 product testing and evaluations for about 8 years, and including testing network routers, switches, software modules, and wireless controllers and access point. He continues to perform validation testing of FIPS 140-2 and 201 products while he's the manager and acting as the lead in the technical oversight on all of the CTSL Lados testing projects. He has performed testing on algorithm implementations to obtain required algorithm certificates from the CAVP and for modules that are undergoing FIPS 140-2 testing. Mr. Wang earned his bachelor degree in mechanical engineering in China and a master's in the University of Nevada, Reno. He will be joined later by Mr. Will Tung. Will is a senior security and certifications analyst working at SafeNet Gemalto. He's leading all the security evaluation testing for FIPS after leaving or joining SafeNet and Gemalto just in the last few months from the CTSL laboratory manager at Lados, primarily responsible for 140-2, validations, FIPS 201, GSA testing, SCAP validation, and TWIC testing. He's got 10 years of computer security testing experience along with a lot of CNA activities. He earned his bachelor's degree in computer engineering from the University of Maryland. And today, both of these speakers will be speaking about the legacy RNGs that will not be permitted in FIPS mode after 2015 and how we should be preparing for that change. Please join me in welcoming, first of all, Richard, and followed by Will. Thank you.
Good afternoon. So before the talk, I just want to share some basic information. Lidos, we have some prepared some handouts, so it's all at the table here. So please free to get it if you want. So today, just like Larry introduced, my name is Richard Wang from Lidos. I will work with Will Tang to share some basic and very generic information about the RNG change, the change to RNG after 2015. So with the time approaching to the end of December 31st, 2015, based on the CMP requirements, just like SP Henry 131A required that CMVP won't allow the legacy RNG to be used in FIPS mode. So in that case, how to prepare the changes? Today, that's why today, Will and my, we will cover topics about how to prepare the changes from both lab perspective and vendor perspective. So my talk, this is an overview from my talk. My session will cover the high-level introduction to the legacy RNGs and DRBG. And also, I will give a comparison in between. Then, from lab perspective, I will share some information about what the lab will to do for the change. Then next, I will share some basic or generic information we learned from CAVP and the CAVP about the RNG change. This is my session, and Will will share some information about from vendor perspective how to prepare the RNG change. Okay, let's get started. First one, I will just from high level perspective give some introduction to legacy random number generator on DRBG. So how many LIGO CRNGs were covered by this, you know, the was called LIGO CRNG? So first one, we want to emphasize that LIGO CRNGs will not be allowed to use by FIPS after 2015, but right now it's okay, it can be used. So first one is FIPS 186-2 RNG. It covered both two different implementations. One is called FIPS 186-2 general purpose RNG. The other is regular 186-2 RNG. Next one is ANSI 9.62 RNG, which was released in 1998. So it covered three different implementations by using different curves, P curve, K curve, and B curves. The last one is FIPS 8931 RNG, which was released in 1998. There are two different implementations by using three-key triple dice algorithm and AES algorithm. So everybody, just like from lab perspective, you know, whenever you submit the need to do some algorithm testing, you have to define, okay, which RNG your module implement. Then we can just, the lab will test it or get it submit to CEVP to get associate certificate. So after the other one I want to talk about is DRBG. DRBG, they are, you know, based on current ASP 800 131A that was released on January 2, 2011. From table 3, you can find out table 3 from that document mentioned something the RBGs specify in ASP 890. They covered hash, HMAC, counter mode, dual EC, and NCX962-2005 HMAC DRBG. So that table mentioned that, you know, those RNG or DRBGs using different modes, you know, was accepted after 2015, and the rest of the legacy RNG won't be allowed after 2015. However, if you look at the working draft ASP 100-131A, that one was released July of this year. It just a very, you know, just a list of hash DRBG, HMAC DRBG, and the counter mode DRBG. You know, compared to last table, you can find now the HMAC DRBG, you know, defined in NCX962-2005 was removed. That is because the implementation in this HMAC defined in NCX932-2005 is same or identical to the one defined in ASP 890A, that DRBG document. That's why I saw, you know, in the new ASP 100-131A, that document removed that HMAC DRBG. The other one, you can find out dual EC DRBG is not allowed. For some reasons, for some maybe security reasons, CNP or NIST don't believe that one is safe or some, you know, the problem bug. So that's why this is not allowed after 2015. So only three modes, HMAC, hash, and counter mode are allowed after 2015. Okay, so regarding the DRBGs, so how many DRBG, how many type of DRBG were covered by this ASP 890A Rail 1? DRBGs specified in 890A Revision 1 includes three different type of DRBGs. One is called hash DRBG. They're using the SHA-1, you know, different SHARs, SHA-2, 24, 56, 384, 512, and also for the, you know, different the other truncate SHA-512/224 and 256. The same thing to HMAC DRBG. And the last type of the DRBG is counter mode DRBG. It covered, you know, triple dice DRBG. This one, triple dice DRBG, was only limited to three key triple dice instead of two key triple dice. And AES 128, AES 192, and 256. Counter mode DRBG. So next topic I want to share the information for here is, you know, what the security strengths or support, or, you know, how what the, you know, the difference between LIGO CRNG and the DRBGs from security strengths perspective. So if you look at all LIGO CRNGs, so you would find that, you know, the old LIGO CRNGs, they doesn't allow users to choose how many bits of security strings were supported by the module. So that's why, you know, there, as first item, I would say the no desired security string is supported. The next one is there is no entropy requirement for the in the seed. So in the document, only the seed length, you know, just like for example, I made an example like a FIPS 186-2 RNG using, you know, SHA-1 as G function. It requires 20 to 64 bytes seed value. And the regular RNG 186-2 RNG using, you know, DAS as G function require 20 bytes seed value. So the same thing to the rest of the, you know, three legacy RNGs. They didn't ask, okay, you know, just like security strings, but they just required how many bytes of seed value should be used. Then the same thing to the N6931, you know, implemented by the triple DAS and N6931 legacy RNG using AES. They just required the you know, how many bytes of the seed values. Then let's go to the DRBG. The DRBG, the two very, you know, important documents talking about the security strings. One is, you know, called SP190A-REL1, that document. The other one is from SP157. The both documents talking about the security strings supported by DRBG. So let's take an example, like first one, the hash DRBG and the HMAC DRBG. Hash DRBG, it covers SHA-1, SHA-254, 256, 384, 512. So SHA-1 allow user to, you know, to choose the security string support from 112 to 128 bits. And 224 and you know, the other truncated version of 512/24 provides entropy strength from 112 to 192 bits. The next three shards to provide up to 256 bits of security strength. So this is like hash and HMAC. The counter mode, you know, from triple DAS, AES, either 128, 192, 256 bits, it provides from the security strength from 112 bits to 256 bits of security strength. This gave user or give, you know, vendor option to choose, okay, how many security strings our module want to support or can support. Next, so after change, so from a lab perspective, so just like today I'm talking about only folks on Leidos, not maybe the other lab have different to-do lists, but from Leidos perspective, this is information what we want to share with everyone here. We have a to-do list for the, you know, Leido tester. First one, after, you know, the vendor contract with Leidos, our tester will review the changes provided by the vendor. So this is changes including the very detailed changes, including the FIPS relevant changes or non-FIPS relevant changes. So we will review it first, then we will analyze this and decide which scenario the lab should use for a CMP submission. Absolutely, you know, this one currently, based on the definition from IG G.8, this is RNG changes. It must be a FIPS relevant changes. So that's why I list the 3 sub or 5 sub. Depends on what the changes made by the vendor. If the vendor less than 30% of the security relevant changes, they can be done through the 3 sub or otherwise they have to do from the 5 sub. However, I know based on the information we got from from CVP or CVP, during the Monday and Tuesday's meeting, lab manager meeting here, CVP might allow the following two cases to be submitted to CVP by using 1 sub. The first case is updating security policy and the source without module changes, which means the security policy removed the legacy RNGs, and so there's no any other changes submitted to CMVP. The second case is updating the module with minimum non-FIPS relevant changes. This, as I said, might allow. So regarding whether they will allow or not, so we have to wait until CMVP, you know, they release the finalized decision. Or you can, you know, check with your lab to ask whether this is good or not. So after analysis and decide which scenario, we will do like to perform the source code review and test to make sure the accuracy of DRBG implementation. So that one will include the DRBG health test. We want to make sure the health test specified from SP190A section 11.3 was implemented correctly, and also the continuous random number test to DRBG test was implemented properly. Okay. So then after that, in parallel, we will do the work with vendor to have DRBG the CAV test and submit the result to CAVP for certification. Just after that, our lab tester will review and assess vendor provide entropy document, because the vendor will do the revalidation. There's no need to submit the entropy report to CMVP, but based on the recent requirements and also from IG 7.15, the entropy report with lab assessment should be submitted to CMVP for review together with the submission package. Then we will do the regression test to all security services due to the R&D change. So some of the vendor previously they asked us we just did the RNG replacement. So do we need to do any other more testing? Our answer is maybe. It depends on whether your security services was if affected by the RNG change. For example, if their module implement SSH, SSH they're using Diffie-Hellman to do private key generation. Using Diffie-Hellman to derive the final session SSH session key, but the vendor's implementation doing that Diffie-Hellman private key generation by using DRBG, previously using RNG, but right now they are using DRBG. So we have to retest all SSH implementation relevant services. So that's it depends on the services implemented by the module. And so after that, make sure everything is good. So we will get it, wrap up the report and get it submit to CMVP for certification. So this is a to-do list from Leidos. As I mentioned that maybe the other lab have different, the processes. It's totally understood. So this is the information we want to share with Leidos today. Next section, I will give some introduction about the very generic information we learned from CMVP and CVP about RNG change. So because the legacy RNG won't be allowed to be used in FIPS mode, in the new version of CAV tools, after 2015, we'll remove the tag for legacy RNG testing. So which means the legacy RNG cannot be tested by CAVs and also won't be certified by CAVP. So next point is the legacy RNG source on the CAP algorithm validation list will be placed into the historic RNG validation list. That one after 2015. So currently you can still see that the RNG, the source for the legacy RNG, but after 2015 that source will be moved into the historical RNG validation list. Very, very similar to the things the CAVP did for the DSA, 186-2 DSA, 186-2 RSA, something like that. So they put into the historic RNG validation list. And the third situation is, if a legacy RNG serves, third is being listed as a prerequisite under a algorithm, for example, 186-2, 186-4 DSA, or EC DSA 2, or something like RSA 2, CAS, GCM and 108 KDF. So after 2015, those prerequisite certs will be replaced with a notation saying something like RNG non-compliant per SP131A transition. Okay, this is information we got from the CAVP. And regarding the algorithm test, so this is the question. Also, we received this question from from one of our vendors. They asked us, do we need to retest all algorithms implemented by the crypto library, or do we need to just test our DRBG? So Our response to them is it depends. So we just bring up two different cases. For first case is if the module has only one crypto library, okay, to implement all algorithms supported by the module within the boundary. So after change, after 2015, the vendor needs to have all algorithms implemented by that crypto library retested. This is the reason for that is the CEP has a requirement. Any changes made in the crypto algorithm crypto boundary, no matter regardless the FIPS or non-FIPS, so all algorithms need to be retested. So that's why if the module only supports one crypto library, so you have to retest even your very very minor changes. You have to retest all algorithms by support by that library. Case two, if the module supports multiple crypto libraries or implementations within the boundary, so it might be possible to retain some of the old algorithm implementation versions. So let's take a look about example. So I made up this example. It's very, I think it's very straightforward. So in the square, in the block diagram, you can see that there are totally four different implementations in the same cryptographic boundary. So just like we call it crypto library A, B, C, and D. In crypto library A, the implementation version is 1.0. So each of the libraries, the firmware implementation version is 1.0. And also in A, it supports RSA2 for X931 keygen. And also AES-CCM, for example, like two algorithms. And the crypto library B, it implements SHA-1, or SHA-2, or maybe. And the crypto C implements AES. And D implements the X legacy RNG. It's called X931 RNG. So they have you can find out that the crypto library A has a links with each the other three crypto libraries. Okay, then after change, so crypto library A because A they need to call the DRBG this time. The legacy RNG was replaced by DRBG in crypto library D. So D need to be retested. And A, RSA keygen, they call that DRBG. So A might be retested. It depends. Some of the special case, something like A implementation that they call, they have like they call API, not directly called D. They call API, then API redirect to D. So that case is maybe you don't need to retest it. But if the RSA keygen was directly, using the RNG from the library D. So A need to be retested, not only for RSA, but also for the AES as well. So for B and C, so because those two libraries was not affected by the changes, so in that case, B and D, the algorithm implemented by B and C won't be, retested, and the version you still can keep the same, 1.0 and just 1.0. And I think in the report, it will be better to let CMP reviewer know, okay, what the changes and what the links between each library. So give the reviewer a good and clear ideas about, why this one keep the 1.0, but A and or D keep in 1.x. So that, just like give them a good clear idea and concept about how the change effect by the module. So there's like more cases? Yes, definitely there's more cases. So in that for the algorithm test, different vendor maybe have different cases. This one, so that's why we put some, please consult the lab or CAP for the solution for different, the cases. It depends. So I talk about the CAP, the information from CAP. How about for CMEP? The CMEP currently, their CMEP post a notice on their website on March 16, 2015. It's about how to deal with the changes. They list several different scenarios. The first one is validated modules on CAP validation list. those talking about the currently the module listing on their list. So the CMP, based on the notice, the CMP will remove legacy RNGs from the approved to non-approved line for all affected FIPS 140-2 module SERs. Okay? So if after removing the RNG from approved line, there is at least one remaining approved algorithm. For example, like if a module support like legacy RNG and AES or SHAR, for example, even if the legacy RNG was removed from approved line to non-approved line, the other two SERs still available, still valid. So that's why the CMEP, the module SERs still there, won't be revoked. A module transition may not also be provided, similar to the notice, if you remember to the end of 2013, that time the RSA and DSA, just transition time, CMP will do the same thing. So if the module or if the report is in CMEP queue, what happened? There are several different scenarios. First one is about review pending or in review. So if your report submit to CMEP, they are in review pending or in review, the laboratory or vendors will be asked to provide an update submission that is fully compliant with the transition. Only compliant submission will be validated. So in that case, if your module support by CMP right now and they are still in review pending or in review, and your module support only support or RNG, legacy RNG, or some of the services using legacy RNG. So after 2015, you have to work with vendor. So the lab has to work with vendor to make updates by using the approved, just the approved DRBG. Okay, so if the report is in coordination phase, so those module submission will be handled like those in review pending or in review case. So just like if you're doing the comments response with CMP reviewers after 2015, the lab has to work with vendor to make update to comply with the transition requirements. So it's lucky for the report is right now in finalization phase. Those module submission will be handled like already a validated module. So just like the last page I talked about, the module CMP will just remove your RNG from approved to non-approved. And I think your SERS, if the module support more than, more algorithms rather than only one DRBG, one legacy RNG, so your module is still validated, at least on the CMP website. So the other case is about for one sub, two sub, or four subs. If you want to update the security policy, so make sure your updates in the security policy, make sure you meet these transition requirements. So you cannot list the RNG as approved RNG anymore after 2015. Today we just share some very basic information we heard or we learned from CAP and CMEP, and more information will be about the RNG changes will be released by CMP and CAP soon. So if you have any just like a very special or question or specific the situation about the modules about this relevant to these RNG changes, we highly recommend it to contact the lab or like CAP or CMP for the solution. And also keep on that the CMP website for more formal or finalized information will be released. I think that is all for my session. So I will give the rest of time to Will to talk about how a vendor will do the change to accommodate the RNG change. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Several months ago, I recently left Leidos and joined Gemalto SafeNet. So now I'm working kind of on the vendor side, just have a slightly different perspective of things. So just put together some slides of things as a vendor to consider, you know, given this transition. So I kind of see this as a Y2K type thing, right? Is when it becomes 2016, is anything magical going to happen to these modules that are out there, perhaps using these non-approved RNGs? And I don't feel that anything is going to immediately break, but there will be a lot of ramifications to this to the result of this, because there could be a lot of non-compliant generated keys, or it could be no longer approved RNGs were used previously to generate things that are still being used in the module. So things to consider are, you know, keys and key pairs that were generated using the now 2016 non-approved RNGs. What happens to those, right? So if I have a module that has a root certificate or a root key pair that I've generated and it persists, you know, many years on the module, what's going to happen to that, right? So if when it becomes 2016, it's not like the module will be able to control whether or not it uses that key pair anymore. So it's something that we need to really think about and kind of educate both the customers, maybe the vendors, on either updating their devices or performing a patch to let the end users know what the true ramifications are. And as vendors and customers may know, the security policies may not be completely transparent in communicating which keys were generated by exactly which RNGs, which are still usable and which are not usable. So I think the CMVP is putting together some ideas around how we handle this transition and how we can deal with updating our documentation or providing a patch to end users or customers. So another thing to consider is IVs and nonces. So there's an IG that says that IVs and nonces need to be generated by approved random number generators. So by the time it hits 2016, it could be that your module has used IVs and nonces that were generated by a non-approved RNG. So another thing to consider. Key loading versus key generation. I've added this point here because you could have a key that's generated maybe in your factory at initialization, but you don't know the origin of that key, right? It could just be something that's loaded onto the module and it persists on the module and you're using it, but you don't know if it's ever been generated by the module or by an approved RNG or a 2016 approved RNG. And I think this next bullet, what if my module only supports a non-approved RNG in 2016? And I think Richard talked about that, is the transition for those devices will move to a historical validation list, and then perhaps the certificate would then be revoked. So it's really up to the vendor community, up to the labs, to educate the end users as far as what's going to happen to these devices that they purchased and what's going to happen to these devices that are deployed in the field. And then best course of action, right? I think CMVP introduced this potential of doing a one sub, which I think is perhaps very lenient. I think this is maybe a good approach. But then also three subs or five subs. If I need to completely overhaul my random number generation process, then that could lead to a completely new submission, a new module validation. And also, given that there's now much more stringent and much more scrutiny on the entropy generation techniques, will my new module still be able to get a FIPS validation certificate? So these are things that, you know, we need to consider. And then the last course is, you know, what's happening with ISO 19790, right? When that comes out, maybe everybody's going to move to ISO, the FIPS 140-3, 140-next. These are things that also vendors are weighing in their minds and deciding whether or not to educate their, or when to educate their customers. So change often leads to opportunity, like I said. So it gives vendors an opportunity to introduce a new product, right? You can provide a new patch. You can say, well, we've overhauled our entropy. We're introducing a new DRBG to securely generate these keys. And then there's a ripple effect to that, right? So you can provide these security patches and then also contract with the labs to get underway for validation testing. And then there's also an opportunity, obviously, for the CMBP to review these and validate them. So providing that guidance, the CMBP's guidance, is important to the entire community so that vendors, labs, and CMBP can react accordingly and make sure that the program remains successful despite the RNG transition. So this is somewhat unrelated, but elliptic curve cryptography, ECC, we've noticed that it's gaining traction in the market, and NIST does recommend using ECC for stronger, larger key lengths. So we've definitely noticed that there's an emerging presence in Europe, especially, to choose ECC over RSA. So this could lead to some additional changes that vendors may consider doing. There's some discrepancy between NIST-approved ECC curves, like some of the curves that Richard touched on earlier, versus internationally accepted ECC curves, or those curves that are perhaps just floating around on Wikipedia that you could potentially endorse, but are not widely accepted by NIST. So these are things to also consider for ECC. And we are also anticipating kind of increased product support for ECC as a result of this international acceptance of elliptic curve cryptography coming down the pipe. So that's all I had to say. And thanks, Richard, for giving the presentation. I'll open the floor to any questions.
About the possibility of having backdoors in elliptic curves. He was very emphatic. He said, whenever I talk to Europeans, I guess industry leaders, not academics. Academics, of course, love ECC because beautiful mathematics, But industry, he said that.
Okay.
Now you are a Gemalto, you are industry also, you have customers in Europe. So can you contradict that? Was he wrong about that? It was general. I'm pretty sure he was generic. He was afraid. They were afraid of ECC because there may be backdoors.
Yeah. I mean, I think generally, yeah. I think there's controversy in which curves are considered to be secure and which curves are considered to be weaker curves. But I know that ECC is also generally considered to be a faster, more efficient algorithm.
Oh, that for sure.
Right. So
for sure. No question.
But yeah, as far as the security strength and stuff that we've seen kind of a push in the European market to move towards ECC. So
okay.
It could okay. Yeah. So probably
good
up for discussion. Yeah.
And also just like a little bit recommendation, like using the approved ECC curves, the FIPS NIST approved ECC curves. Like if you want to use the module in FIPS mode, using the FIPS approved curves. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
One more question.
Okay.
Didn't NIST just change their recommendation and say they prefer RSA over ECC because of quantum?
That was the NSA.
That was the NSA. Okay.
Right. Yeah,
sorry.
The
NSA NIST. I get them confused. Yeah. Okay.
But that was for.
Right.
Go for it.
Right, there's no alternative, so.
We've got time for one more question.
Richard, a simple question. You talk about the fact that keys, IVs, are the random values generated with now disallowed RNG will be revoked. And what is the official position of NIST MVP about those use of those keys, for example? What should we tell to the customers who use them? Should they rekey everything, this kind of thing?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So that's up in the air right now, because technically, if you were to follow it to the T, the requirements to the T, you are now using, or that module is now using, a non-approved key because it's been generated by a now 2016 non-approved RNG, right? So that's kind of up to interpretation, and it's up to vendors, labs, and everybody to work together to kind of determine where that key came from and then educate, you know, the end users and say, oh, well, we need to rekey, right? Or we need to start using this RNG. But a lot of times it's also not feasible, right? Because it could be something that's been generated years ago. It may break a lot of compatibility to other products or the entire ecosystem, right?
So it depends on whether the customer is under some regulation, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why we need to do a source code review to make sure that RNG, you know, the capacities meet FIPS requirements.
Please join me in thanking our speakers for a great presentation. Thank you. Lots of interest, and you can absolutely connect with them outside of this room if you have other questions. Our next talk will start in about 2 minutes.